We just passed through New Year's, and I'll tell you a little story. Now, some of you heard this story before, but some of you may not have, and it's kind of funny. But Marie likes making banners and posters. She's the craftiest one I know. Anyway, she made this big banner that said, "Jesus gives new life." And it went stretched across most of the front of our house. It was an outside banner. She put it there at Christmas time to talk about Jesus is the one who gives new life. And she put it up there, and it was fine. And a lot of people actually commented on it, so we just left it up there. And summer came, and we had the banner on the house the whole summer. And actually, people stopped and asked me what it meant, and I, shared the gospel with them. So anyway, the fall came, and flowers had grown up around it, and weeds had grown up. And in the fall, this lady stopped at the door. She knocked on the door, an elderly lady, and she said, "Excuse me, but I don't think that's very nice what you have out on the front of your house." And I said, "Well, why? What's the matter with it?" She said, "Why would you have on the front of your house that Jesus is a newfie?" I'm dead serious. This is not a joke. This is true. You can laugh. And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You have it on the front of your house that Jesus is a newfie. What do you mean by that?" I said, "That's not what it says." I said, "Come on, let's walk out to the front." So we walked out to the front. And like I said, the weeds had kind of grown up, the flowers, and they kind of covered some of the words. So she was driving by, and she read, "Jesus is a newfie." Well, once I showed her what the actual sign said, she said, "Oh, okay, all right. She said, "I'm very sorry." Anyway, we got to be very good friends. So no harm done in it all. Maybe she wouldn't have stopped, but this way she did, and we have got to be good friends. But sometimes we can misunderstand things, can't we? And sometimes we're misunderstood when we share the gospel. We talk about Jesus Christ and people wonder, what planet are you from? But when we try to make it clear that God loves us and that Jesus really does give new life. So I want to talk a little bit about New Year's and about what Jesus has to offer. Because now I don't know about younger people anymore. Do younger people make resolutions anymore at New Year's? They just don't even notice New Year's goes, right? Not really, right? But that's often, the old thing was, you made resolutions, right? This year, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And generally, how long do those resolutions last? 3 days? Oh, you're really good. 3 days. That's pretty good. Yeah, some of us 3 minutes, and some of us 3 days, some of us a week, whatever. But they fall by the wayside, don't they? I got this little statement up here. New Year's resolution. Resolve to renew all your old resolves and add a few that are new. Resolve to keep them as long as you can. What more can a poor man do? And basically, that's the way it is, isn't it? Because it's not going to last very long. What you can do isn't very much. But I want you to know what God can do. Another statement here. I can't believe it's been a year since I didn't become a better person. Right? The best that I can do is far short of the reality of what God can do. So what I want to talk about today, since we started a new year, is what new things has God done and can God do in the likes of you and I? We've proven what we can do. Let's see what God can do. So we're going to look at a few verses in the Bible and just chat about them and feel free to make comments and whatever. The first one I have is, you can't. But God can. Have you found yourself to be a failure at areas in your life? Have you found that nagging feeling of, I just can't seem to get it right? That's okay. God knows that. You don't have to beat yourself up for being a failure. If you weren't a failure, God wouldn't have sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you. But because we are, because we come short, God says, no, I want to come. I've come for people who just can't cut it. I've come for the ones who are struggling. I've come for the ones who can't make it. I've come for them. And I want to be with them, and I want to be for them in every single way. And he can, and he will be. All of that. Sit down now. Sit down. Thank you very much. And that's exactly what he can do. God can where you can't. Now, here's some new things. So point out, I want you to help me because, I need help. I always need help. What are some of the things that are new in these in this verse? First one. A new creation. What's the new creation? What is made brand new? Us. That's what it says. If anyone is in Christ. Now here's the kicker. If you come into Christ, that is, if you accept Christ, then you become a new creation. You go and sit down right now. Okay? Thank you. He says, if anybody is in Christ, they become a new creation. They become transformed. A new creation. It goes so far as to say this. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Wow. All things. Well, we're done. It says all things. Everything has become new when you trust Christ. So here's the thing. You either have Christ have come on the inside of your heart or he's still on the outside. If he comes on the inside of your heart, he makes you a new person on the inside. That's what it says. If anyone is in Christ, that is, you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and it makes you new. This is what it says. And you become all things. All things pass away and all things become new. God is in the business of making things new. You know, some things you can improve on and some things you can't. Sometimes the old jalopy just has to go to the junkyard. Especially now when you want to go to a garage and they want to charge you $60 or $70 an hour. There's a point where you just say, I can't do this anymore. And I know I did that myself about 2 years ago. I said, I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to go get a new car. And I did get a new car. But let me tell you right now, it's not new anymore. It has close to 100,000 kilometers on it. I'll have it wore out before it's paid for. But anyway, I got the privilege of driving something new for a little while. But the thing is that there's a point where old has to go and new has to come. And maybe sometimes we only learn that lesson late in life. Many people only learn, you know, but hopefully we learn. It's wonderful if we could learn that lesson early and realize, oh, I need to be a new creation. I need Jesus Christ to come into my life and make me new. I can't live the same way as I always have. Look at the promise in Ezekiel 36, 26. What's new in this one? A new heart. God can give us a new heart. He puts a new heart in us. And what else is new in here? A new spirit. And it's none other than the Holy Spirit of God. God wants to put a new heart in us. Now, we're not talking about an actual heart transplant. I'm no heart doctor. I'm not going to go and rip your chest open and try to stick a heart in and take one out. But he's talking about our spiritual heart. He's talking about our spiritual being. He says, you need a new heart. We need new life. And that's exactly what Jesus gives. So my wife was bang on. She was following what the scriptures say when she wrote, Jesus gives new life. We need new life. We need new beginnings. We need a new heart. And so he says, I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You'll keep my judgments and do them. So we all, not only do we see that we're a new creation, we find out that he gives us a new heart. He find out he gives us a new spirit, and that spirit is what? What spirit is that? The spirit, Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. I'll put my spirit in you. And he says, and that will cause you to have a new conduct. You'll live in a new way. God changes us. He saves us to change us. This is what he wants to do. The example Jesus gave goes like this. He said, nobody puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. And nor do they put new wine in old wineskins, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Now, was Jesus wanting to teach how to be a good seamstress or how to be a good winemaker? Was that what he was talking about? No, what was he talking about? He's talking about you and me. And he's talking about the fact that, listen, if I had a piece of cloth, and if I had an old pair of pants all ripped up, sometimes, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I had lots of whatever I had. I'm not a man who likes change. I like things the same. I like things the same at home, like the furniture's all arranged, and it's good for me for the next 100 years. And when my wife changed it, I don't like it. It doesn't matter how nice it is, how good it is, I don't like it. But I try not to say that, right? But then after about a week or two, guess what? I like it. But then if she changes it again, I don't like it, right? Well, sometimes you have a favorite piece of clothing, favorite pair of pants or whatever, and they get ripped and they get torn, and finally, you know, when you're a kid and your mom says, listen, those pants gotta go. They're done for. I can't patch them anymore, because when I put a patch on top of them, what happens to them? It tears big, makes a bigger tear, because the clothes are rotten. They're done for. And Jesus is giving that illustration here. He says, you know, look, sometimes our lives come to the point where, listen, you can't patch it up anymore. You can't improve on it anymore. It needs to be put away. Now, he's not talking about you physically dying, but in a sense, he's talking about you spiritually dying to yourself, letting go, and letting Jesus come in and take over and give you a whole brand new walk, a new life. That's what he wants to give us. And that's what the picture is here. He gives the same picture about the wineskins. When you actually put wine into a wineskin, it has to be a fresh one, because if you put it in an old wineskin, it's already been stretched. Because what happens when wine goes in a wineskin, it begins to ferment and it begins to stretch the skin. So if you take fresh wine, put it in an old wineskin, and it begins to expand, the old wineskin is already stretched to the limit, and kaboom, it breaks. Now, I experienced that when I was a kid, trying to make some kind of orange beer from some recipe that somebody gave me, and I was all excited, and I went out behind the building in the barn, my father's barn, and I had all these bottles brewing that I didn't know any better. I had them screwed down tight, and, you know, I was checking on them. They're drinking half of them before they even started to ferment. And then, I went there one day, and there wasn't a bottle left. All there was glass everywhere. Blew them to pieces. Why? Well, I'm not sorry about it now. I was then. But anyway, that was my experimentation with making booze. Didn't work out very good. Well, Jesus gave that illustration to say, listen, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. We're the old wineskins. And we need the new wine of the Spirit of God. The Bible likens the wine to the Holy Spirit. Something that gives you gladness and joy, but not the hangover. Okay? The Holy Spirit himself wants to come into your heart. But he has to give you a new heart. He has to give you a new life. He has to change everything. And sometimes we're just not willing for that. Sometimes, well, we want God to fix us up. Oh, God, come on, I got a little problem in my life. Maybe I'm struggling with alcohol. Maybe I'm struggling with gossip. Maybe I'm struggling with depression. Maybe I'm struggling, whatever it might be in my life, whatever it is, whether it's sin or whether it's sickness or whether it's disease, whatever I'm struggling with, we want God to come and fix the little corner where the problem lies. But we're not willing for him to come and say, okay, God, you got to clean the whole thing here. You got to do a clean-up job. I need new wineskin. I need new clothes, Lord. I need a new heart. I need a new life. Because fixing this up is only going to make it worse. It's just going to tear, and I'm going to be worse off than I was before. And that's the truth of it, friends. We need a new life. And that's what Jesus offers us. That's why the Bible talks about a whole new life and a new experience with God. And in the Word of God, Jesus talks here, as in 2 Corinthians 4:11, it says, we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus may be revealed. So death works in us, and life works in you. So the picture that's given here is that as we die to ourselves, as we allow Jesus to take over our whole life, we can live. We can really live. Because then it's no longer us that's doing the living. Paul writes this, and he says, in Galatians 2:20, I have been put to death or crucified with Christ. It's not me who's living anymore, but it's Christ who's living in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I'm dead. It's not my life anymore. I am dead. I have a new life now, and it's Christ that's doing the living in me. That's what God wants to do in our lives. So, do you want a few band-aids, a few corners of your life? Or do you want Jesus to come in and take over the whole shebang? I guess, in a sense, the choice is yours. But if it's only one, you only want band-aids, let me tell you, they'll tear. The rip will be worse than what you had before. God is not interested in patching you up. He's interested in giving you a whole new life. Let me think of it this way. Suppose there's a chicken inside of an egg, little chick. He's inside that egg. He likes it in there. He swims around, gets some noodles, do somersaults, no problem, right? But he can't stay there forever, can he? there has to come a point where he breaks out into the world, the wide world. And once he breaks out into the wide world, there's no going back to the inside of that egg. There's nothing left there for him. Sometimes we want to stay inside the egg. And God says, no, I want to give you a new birth. I want you to explode into the whole new life that I have for you. So that you come outside that egg and a whole life is there waiting for you. The green grass and the worms that you can eat. And this for the chicken, not for you, okay? And all that display of the sunshine and the warmth and everything that comes with it. You were meant to explode into new life. God wants you to explode into new life. But in order for that to happen, you have to let him come in. You have to say, Jesus Christ, I am willing. I want you to take over my life. I want you to forgive me for my sins because that is a problem. That's what poisons us. And I want you to change me from the inside out so I can be the new creation that you want me to be. And the wonder of that is that you can experience that when you're 10 years old. You can experience that when you're 5 years old, as my daughter did. You can experience that when you're 50 years old. You can experience that when you're 80 or 90 years old. And you can have a new birth and a new beginning. And I'll tell you what, it is vital that it does happen in your experience. Because if you miss this new life and this new experience, then God cannot let you with your sin. He just can't. There's no room for it. If God lets sin into heaven, we're going to have the same mess up there we got down here. And he's not going to let that happen the second time. So I got to get cleaned up. I need a new life and I need a new heart and I need the forgiveness. But it all comes from Jesus Christ, what he has done. Look what it says here. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that's what it said in the Bible? Right, plain to your face. There it is. I'm not making it up. It says it right in the Bible. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what it says here. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You were made new. You were this, but now you're no longer that. Now don't misunderstand. Anybody can sin. Anybody can sin in any of these ways and still be saved. Don't misunderstand. What this means is that they are continually practicing these things. And the Bible says, you can't inherit the kingdom of God if you continue to practice this. That's what it says in the Bible. And so, what is he saying? He says, you've got to be made new. This is how radical it is to be a new creation, okay? Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother if he sins against me? And I forgive him. Up to 7 times? And just think about that, okay? Somebody comes and does you wrong. I don't know what they do. Wiggity whack. They give you a couple of slaps on the face. And then they say, oh, gee, sorry I did that. Okay, I forgive you. Hour later they come along. Wiggity whack again. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. All right. I forgive you. Third time. Wiggity whack. I think a lot of that time is wiggity whack back, right? So Peter says, how often am I going to do this? 7 times? Will I do it 7 times? Jesus says, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. That is nuts. How can anybody do that? How can you forgive that many times? Listen, I'll tell you what. You can't. Only God can do this. Now I assure you, the Lord Jesus Christ did just that. How many times was he insulted? How many times was he treated wrongly? How many lashes went across his back? 39 lashes across his back as he was whipped and scourged. Every one of them ripping the flesh right off of his back. And he could have stopped them at any time. But what did he do? He bore patience. They thrust a crown of thorns upon his head. And when they did, they pushed that those thorns would have dug right into his very scalp. Then they blindfolded him. They grabbed his beard and they ripped the beard out of his face. This is described in the Bible very clearly. They plucked the hairs of his face right off of him. They beat him with sticks and said, "Who?" As they blindfolded him, the soldiers said, "Guess who hit you? Guess who hit you?" These are all details about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And at any moment, he said, "Don't you know even now I can call on a legion of angels?" At any moment, he could have said, "Toast them all." But he didn't. He didn't. He lived what he said. Now, I can't live this way. Only God can. But God wants to come and live inside of me so that I can forgive, so that I can love, so that if somebody treats me wrong, I can treat them back with kindness and gentleness and love and forgiveness. And what a blessing it is to be able to do that. It really is. No bitterness, no hatred, no, not at all that stuff knotted up inside. I said this morning I was talking about something else, but I remember an old gentleman who I used to go and visit and try to encourage him to turn to Jesus. But he had been cheated over $10,000 by someone many years before. That money was long spent, and the guy who had cheated him out of it was dead. But he was filled with bitterness about that guy that had cheated him out of $10,000, and he could not, and he would not, accept Christ, because he was going to stay mad at a guy that was dead, and at money that was long gone. What a tragedy that is. But whatever your sin is, whatever pet sin we have, we all sin. Let's come to Jesus and say, "Lord, you can have all of me. You can have the whole shooting match. I am willing for you to take over because I need that kind of life, the kind of life that Jesus can bring." You know, it says in Lamentations 3:22 in the Old Testament, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's compassion. I want to assure you that you have offended the Lord more than 70 times 7 in your life. You have. Not just your neighbor. You know, maybe you know somebody who's done it more than you. You might be surprised. If it was all tallied up, and listen, my friends, if you don't trust Christ on the day of judgment, it will be all tallied up. Every wrong thought, word, and deed you've ever done will be on the tally sheet. I assure you, you want that wiped off. You want that all forgiven. And his mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new today. That all of that can be wiped off in a moment because Christ died for it at the cross. And if you believe, if you receive it, it's yours. Forgiveness. Complete pardon is yours. You don't have to have anything held against you on the day of judgment. Oh, what a wonderful promise that is, that at the moment you die, if I drop dead right here, I know that all my sins are paid for because Christ suffered for them. And he doesn't have to pay for them. They don't have to be paid for twice. He's paid the price in full at the cross. I have to accept that, though. I have to believe it for myself. And as soon as you do, your sins are gone, not held against you in the day of judgment. But friends, his mercies are new every morning. So that if I fail today, his mercies are new. Tomorrow morning, God's mercies are waiting for me, and they're waiting for you. Turn your heart and soul to Jesus and discover how good that his mercies are. He says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Ephesians 5:8 says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." God has given us new life, new light, new hearts, new creations, new beginnings, new beings. And he gives us new conduct. In Romans 7, I'm not going to go through all of this tonight. We don't have time to do it. But what Romans 7 says, "I can't do this. I can't live the way God wants me to live. I want to, but I haven't got the power to do it." But he discovers something. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. God can do it. And he can do it for you, Romans 7:25. And so the Bible encourages us to have a new mind. Look in Romans 12:2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." A whole new way of thinking. Why? I have new thinking because I have a new spirit. I have a new heart. And I have a new life. That's what Jesus can do and enable us to live according to the will of God. In this passage in Romans 6, 4, it says this, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And just very quickly, to realize how good God is, even if we are with God and we go astray from God, which most of us have done more than once in our experience, here's a young man that was with his father. Jesus tells the story, and the young man said, "A certain man had two sons," Luke 15:11. "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in his fields to feed the pigs, the swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I send you to heaven, and before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So here's a guy who blew it. Here's a guy who messed up really bad. And even though he messed up really bad, God's mercies were still there. And given the picture here, Jesus is telling this story about a son that wasted all of his father's living. He wasted the inheritance that was given to him. And he ends up in a pigsty. He's eating pig food. And he begins to think, well, gee, maybe if I went back, maybe my father just might let me be a hired servant. He didn't even dream that his father would take him back as a son. Not after all that he had done. Not after the mess that he had made. He said, if you just make me a hired servant, I'd be better off there than I would here. I'm stuck here. I'm eating pig food. So he says, I will arise. So he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, now here's the father's heart. The father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father says to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Here Jesus reveals the father's heart. It's a heart that says, look, if you've messed up, if you've fallen, if you've blown it, if you've landed in the pigsty of life, you can come back to me. And I'm not just going to make you a slave. I'm not just going to make you a servant. I'll come and I'll fall on you and I'll hug you and I'll kiss you and I'll give you all the rights and privileges of a son of you because I love you. And I just want to say tonight with all my heart, God loves you. You personally, God passionately, wonderfully loves every one of us here. And that love is so deep and so real. And he wants to come into our souls and he wants to make us his children. And he wants to have us completely forgiven for all that we have done wrong. And he wants to take us into his home. And he wants us to party with him, not just for here, but for all eternity. That's the love of God. That's the mercy of God. New beginnings. Thank God for new beginnings. New beginnings, first for salvation, and new beginnings every single day as we look to God and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to take over my thoughts, my life, my heart, my mind, my soul, my family, everything, Lord. I lay them at your feet. So Jesus, you come in. You take over. Now, if in your experience you've never come to the place where you have personally accepted Christ, I want you to know you can do that tonight. You can come and talk to me afterwards, and you can settle it with God tonight, where you pray and where you receive and you believe that Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior, where you don't have any doubts about where you're going to spend eternity, where you know that you're in the Father's house, where you know that all your sins are forgiven, where you know he gives you a brand new heart, where you can be as clean as a newborn baby in the sight of God, with every sin taken care of and gone forever because Jesus died for them there at that cross. And that where you know that he'll be with you every step of the way from here on. That's what God offers us, new life and new beginnings. Let's pray.